Welcome to Girls Like Us podcast. Welcome to Girls Like Us podcast.
Of military experience, unwanted sexual contact.
Hi guys.
Welcome to Girls Like Us. This is Charlotte.
And this is Venus.
I mean, want Venus to go first. I mean, like, why I always gotta say my name
because
first? Is it alphabetical order?
No, because I don't know, because that's just the way it's been.
I know, right?
You can't break the rules. The unspoken rules.
Right. Oh my gosh. So what's been up this week? Look at that. I switched it up.
Now I don't know what to say. Nothing. All I've been doing is working. That's my life.
So dry. I'm so done.
So dry. You know, I've been having doctor's appointments and that's about it.
You definitely have.
That's my life. I'm trying to get myself together. I'm trying to balance my life healthily, or whatever the word might be. I think I just made up a word.
Okay.
I'm trying to find balance in my life because either I don't sleep, I sleep, or I don't have a life, right. Or I have too much of a life. So I'm trying to find the perfect balance.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
What have you been up to?
Actually, nothing. I've been reading this one book, Heal Thyself, that I got you. So,
yes.
I'm reading it. Haven't started anything yet, but yeah, I was like, oh, this sounds complicated. I want to do it.
Like, this sounds complicated.
It's a complicated order. But I definitely want to do it because I definitely want to get my mental and health, like, in order. Like, it's so, like, fasting and just changing my whole diet. It's a mental cleansing. It's a physical cleanse. Like, I think I'm going to start with, like, the bath. The salt bath. I'm going to baby step it. But
I think that's the one thing I can't start with. So I'm going to start with something else.
So it is. That's what I've pretty much been doing in the interim of working. Just reading and researching.
And you know what that, with the whole fasting, because, you know, my friend is.
Yes.
My friend was telling me that usually the first 3 days of fasting, because, you know, they fast when it's Ramadan. So they were telling me that the first 3 days of fasting are literally the complete worst. Because it's such a mental thing. But they're like, once you get past that, you're good. Like, you see the changes right away. I don't know, because for the past 2 years, Ramadan has been falling on my birthday. And, like, I know it's such a bad thing.
Because it's a sacrifice.
But that's my birthday.
It's a sacrifice. And then I was like, did you see all the side effects? And it was like, the side effects can last up to 2 to 3 years until your body adjusts. And I was like, what's, like, what is this? And it was just like things to, like, to help with the side effects, to, like, not make it as bad.
Yes.
And it was scaring me as I just continued to read on, like, oh my God.
But it's a sacrifice.
It is a sacrifice. But it was just saying how all the impurities is going to come out your body. The difference that you feel, like, the first page, I guess, the introduction, that first introduction had me like, oh my God, like, this is something I
like,
really
and it's a proven fact, because what did I tell you about my asthma? Like, I've been changing completely how I eat, what I drink, like, what I put in my body, and I have not had an asthma attack in 2 years. And it was so bad, too, where, like, I was literally in the ER, like, every other month because of how bad it was.
Yeah.
And I have not, I don't even use my inhalers. I don't even know what inhaler looks like anymore.
Yeah, it was just saying, like, all the mucus and things in your body, all these toxins, like, that we put in, that's in the food, the steroids that's in the food that we eat. And so I feel like I'm not going to be able to, like, just go all in. like jump in head first. I'm gonna baby step
it. Is it. It's a process. It's a process because even
I think my body might go into shock. Like what happened to her? What happened to Charlotte? She's not even on the show anymore because she.
I don't know who this is anymore. Look, guys, we're trying to make it to this retreat. So if you guys want to sponsor us.
Yes, we are accepting sponsors.
If you guys want to sponsor us for this retreat,
Oh my God.
We'll really appreciate it. But
absolutely.
It is, and you know, as we're touching into this and we're like, we're laughing and we're like thinking about how hard this is, healing within itself comes, you know, it's mental, like mind, body, and soul. And I've always said it's mind, body, and soul. So even like what we just went through, I know it seems hard, but the way that it affects your mental, your body, how you feel, this is a part of healing. Like, you know, and we all do it differently. We all get there differently. We all are at different stages. It's not like a linear thing where you go this step and then this step and this step, because one person might be like 100% on the food, while the other person is 100% on the mental.
Right.
So, guys, like, look into your healing and don't ever compare your healing or your process to anybody else's.
Exactly.
Because your healing is yours alone. But like I said, it goes a lot into mind, body, and soul. And, you know, I really do recommend that book. Like, Charlotte got for me, and I started reading it. I have, like, a stack of books anyway that I'm reading. But, yeah, it's like, look into your healing. Look into what works for you.
Right.
But today, you might tell me what we're going to talk about since we're changing the rules.
So today we're going to be talking about rape in the military.
Yes.
Which is, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Because you were probably going to answer the question I was going to ask. So go ahead.
Yeah. So this is kind of a, I don't know, it's an important topic to me because my son is in the military. And he gets sick and tired of me. He be like, oh my God, like, Mom, stop. Like, he was like, they teach it so much, like, in every, like, part that he goes to, each department he goes to, he's like, they teach it. So I was, like, really happy about that. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm just going to reiterate on it then.
I'm just going to give you a little pointer. So exactly. You can touch on the...
Right? So, yeah.
See,
so this is
that's what
pretty...
I was going to say anyway.
See, I knew it. I read your mind.
Yeah, so we are going to talk about rape in the military, guys.
Yes.
And I thought this was important for Charlotte, too, but just important in general because rape in the military, I want to start by saying this, that usually when anything hits court or charges are brought against the military personnel, they never see a court of our peers, like, we go to court, they have their own military court. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So when I was researching this, it said that almost 32% of U.S. military women report being assaulted, and 80% have been sexually harassed. In 2011, I thought this, like, fact was so crazy. So in 2011, a report found that women in the U.S. military were more likely to be raped by fellow soldiers than to be killed in combat. So if you think about that, like, you're sitting here going to war, and there's a higher chance of you being sexually assaulted than, I guess, like, dying in combat, which that goes also to hold on, what am I trying to say? That it goes into this. Women who served in Iraq not only experienced PTSD from war, but from being sexually assaulted. So can you imagine that? Yeah. Because I know you see some traumatic ass shit over there.
Right. It is. It's insane to even think about that. Like, the fact that it happened so frequently, I was reading one article and it was saying that really with the Marines, one of the branches, that they're really enforcing it more because I guess it's happening. And me knowing personally, just talking to my son, he said really like they're kind of they're like mm-hmm. on it, because it is something that happens a lot. And for the Marines, they were actually at the top of the list for sexual assaults within the branches of the
really?
Military.
Mm-hmm. See, I found it different. So I found this other article,
mm-hmm.
but and this is from 2018. So maybe your stats are.
I think it was. Let me see.
Because everywhere I read, it said that the Navy is the top.
Really? Because
yes.
Let me see. I wrote down the number. Okay, so it said of all the services, this was an article in May of 2019. And it says, out of all of the services, the Marines has the worst record of sexual assault against women, with incidence rate of nearly 11%, followed by the Navy. At 7.5%.
Okay, because I had the Navy,
mm-hmm.
and it said that it broke it down. One of the it broke it down to where are they most likely to be raped, like which are the most dangerous. They broke down the branches, and then the most dangerous where they get located
mm-hmm.
to be raped, like where there must be like where they're gonna be most likely to be raped.
True.
I broke it down so it all the. Articles that I read, like, the Navy was always first.
Really?
Yes, the Navy was always first. It said that the Navy, women and men assigned to Navy ships
mm-hmm.
at the sea are more likely to be sexually assaulted than service members at bases elsewhere across the force. So pretty much anyway, across even the services, if you're assigned, you want to know where the least incidents of rape happen?
Yes.
When they're assigned... when they were assigned to the Pentagon.
Really?
And then when they go from there, the places that are safest to work along any branches are National Capital Region Headquarter buildings. So anywhere where it's Washington, D.C., it's pretty much the safest place to work at.
Wow.
Which, I wonder if it's true or they're just not allowed to report it at all.
Right. And it's crazy. I don't know. That is crazy that it would be in those branches.
Yeah, they said that the Navy, it's in their ships. The Navy ships at sea.
Because they probably can confine mm-hmm. to live with long periods of time.
Yes. The Army had... New York, Fort Drum in upstate New York is one of the most dangerous places for men and women. For Army women, the top five locations are...
Fort being raped.
Yes.
Okay.
Fort Huachuca, Arizona. Okay, I'm gonna like... I'm gonna have the most horrible pronunciation of this guy, so do not come at me.
Oh my God.
Osun Air Base, Korea, Fort Drum, Okinawa, Japan, and Fort Riley, Kansas.
Wow.
For men, Fort Myer, Italy, Virginia, Fort Benjamin, Georgia, Fort Drum, and Rose Barracks, Germany.
Wow.
And I know you want to hear the other one.
Oh, no worries.
Well, no, wait, I'm going with the Air Force.
Okay.
The Air Force, the most one is undergraduate pilot training bases. Were among the most dangerous places for both Air Force men and women for the risk of sexual assault. For women, the top five are the Vance Air Force Base in Laughlin Air Force Base, Texas, Altus Air Force Base, Oklahoma, Columbus Air Force Base, Mississippi, and Goodfellow Air Force Base in Texas. For men, which... Some of them are the same, but I think it's so crazy how some of them are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
For men, the top five are Altus Air Force Base, Laughlin Air Force Base, Joint Base Anacostia Boiling in Washington, D.C., Luke Air Force Base, Arizona, and Columbus Air Force Base. And for the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center, 29 Palms in California was one of the top five most dangerous places for male and female Marines to risk of sexual assault. Responses for male Marines showed that the other most risky locations to be assigned included Japan, Korea, and Afghanistan.
Ooh.
For female Marines, Marine Corps Air Station Yuma me, MCAS, Belfort, EMS, Marine Corps, New River, and USMC Mobile. Their Marine Logistics Group were reported to have the highest risk of sexual assault.
Wow.
So it's so crazy how some of them are completely different. Like, mm-hmm. for the guys, none of them were here. For the guys in the Marines,
they're out of the country, yeah. Yes,
it was Japan, Korea, and Afghanistan. Wow. Like, none of them were here. And it's so crazy how it changes. Like, right. It's so different among, like, mm-hmm. all of them. I thought it was so, like, interesting that
it is.
They put that together. So whoever did that, thank you.
Right. Well, it did say, like, across the board, even with the guys being on the list, that the men assaults were significantly lower across the board. Like, the percentage was, for most of them, like, at 1% or less for men being assaulted.
That is reported. So
yeah.
crazy mm-hmm. because the one I read,
oh my God.
I'm telling you, this? I swear to God. So let me find it where, because I wrote it down. It said the recent statistics show that most assaults are men-on-men attacks.
Really?
Yes.
I need to look up this article because mine was on military.com. Maybe they were sugarcoating their numbers or something.
Well, mine's militarytimes.com.
Oh my God. Wait. Like, this is entirely two different things. And this is from May of 2019. So it's not like it's. Well, when was your article from?
Well, okay. This one is from 2018, September.
Okay.
And the other information was from 2019. Like 2019, the whole year,
because
it was
because I guess with all of this happening in 2019, they made several changes to the uniform code of the military mm-hmm. due to all of these things mm-hmm. happening.
Okay, we have that the same.
Okay, geez, I'm like, what is this?
So now I'm wondering, because I know that a lot of them, people that have come forward, they experience retaliation in form of professional, social, and administrative actions or punishments when they report it. Then, like, a lot of them get discharged.
The back, yeah.
And they're discharged.
Dishonorable.
Well, it's dishonorable, but you know what they... Because, you know, they got to categorize as to, like, why. Was it drugs? Was it this? Was it that?
Mm-hmm.
It gets categorized on their personality disorder.
Wow.
And I'm like, are you serious?
That is insane.
Like, I get raped. And you're going to say, I have a disorder, like my personality disorder, so I should just be okay with getting raped?
Right. Wow. That's insane. Okay, did your article say, look, this, like, we normally have the pretty well the same type of information.
This is probably, like, the first time that our information is
completely
so
different. Well, it did say, okay, 90% of the cases that the assailant was another service member,
mm-hmm.
Mostly of a higher ranking than them.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to come forward and tell them, they're pretty much telling mm-hmm. you, like, if you come forward, you're going to be let go, you're going to be dishonorable discharged, I'm going to say all these things about you. So
mm-hmm.
it pretty much, they don't come forward. If they come forward, they're ended up being shamed and talked about.
Mm-hmm. Because usually it's their unit commanders, and the unit commanders have a lot of influence in the branch.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, after they report it, the victims are being forced to work with the accused rapists.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's their commanders, so you have to take orders from them. They're the ones that are assigning you to your project or your task that certain name.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, we got that the same.
Right. I'm glad we got that. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Well, the sexual assault has increased in the past 2 years, but this is from 2018. It went up 26% from 4,794 to 6,053. So this is from 2018 numbers.
I don't want to say that it went up, and I have a problem when people say that it went up. Like, when we did the man guy, like, the men being raped, it also said that it had gone up. I don't think it has gone up. I think
it's more people reporting.
Yeah, more people
right.
reporting it.
Yeah, that is. I had looked at another article in CNN. Hopefully, we can have that the same. It was just talking about the different victims and the branches who came forward. And some came forward too late, so it was dismissed. Like, they had all the evidence. They had, you know, text messages and things like that. They had pictures. But because mm-hmm. it reached the statute of limitation, some of those cases were dismissed.
one of the cases that had got dismissed is in Virginia that don't have a statute of limitations limit.
I think so, yeah.
So they took it out of the military.
Yeah, he saw the he went to court Arlington, Virginia, right?
Yeah.
He was prosecuted by civilian authorities in May
2013. Oh, we got that to say. Yay, I know, right? So that one was the case. And then there was another case, because I think it was like
six, four seven. Main ones that yeah, like kept main, hit.
Yeah, so one of the victims, actually, their father was the one who was raping them. And he started raping her and assaulting her from the age of three. And one of the times, the mom came in on it before he was actually about to start, you know, the act. And it, the craziest thing about a lot of these cases is they may have only got like 5 years. So you ruined my whole life and you only get five years, or the case is dropped, or they filed the appeal for one of
them. Yeah, this is the one, I think this is the one where it says in 2013, the two officers were convicted by a court. And then they were giving clemency. So they appealed it. And then when they went back, it says that Franklin outlined each piece of evidence in the case, which led him to conclude that there had not been proof beyond a reasonable doubt of the accused guilt.
And this is sad because this is happening more often than not when it comes down to the military, because they kind of stand up for each other, especially if it's a ranking officer. And it, they continue to do it because they pretty much know that they can't get away with it.
And this one, the craziest thing is this, that it was a memo by General Craig Franklin of the 3rd Air Force and Susan Helms of the 14th Air Force. And her, as a woman, like this, I don't understand. It says her memo includes specific standard of evidence directed by the military judge at trial. And her lawyer agreed with her assessment of the case. And it said she did uphold Captain Terror's conviction for the lesser sexual crime. So she went on a lesser charge. And the memo that they released, it's like 6 pages long, pretty much stating why he wasn't guilty.
Wow. I remember seeing one of the articles how, you know, they thought it was a done, you know, a case where they're going to win. And then the attorney came up to it like, it's over. Like, we can't win it. I'm like, that is the worst news you can hear when you feel like you got all your ducks in a row and you have all the evidence here showing it, and you still get
because they're like a little cult, because if you think about it, they don't see a civilian court. So the lawyer that you even get has to be military issued. And I think even if you are, let's say, the defendant, you don't get to choose your lawyer. It's appointed, to you who's gonna defend you. So at that point, it's like they're signing someone that maybe they're like, this is what you need to do to lose it, or you're not even gonna lose, you're not even gonna win it.
Exactly, yeah. See, one of the ladies who was assaulted in the article, I guess the sergeant, I don't know what was his position, but he got drunk and she dropped him off at home. She like got him inside the house, and then of course he like took it from her. Like, he forced himself on her. He like gave her a black eye. Like, she had the pictures and everything. And she ended up telling somebody else they had the rape kit, and she was like, it was so violating. Like, it was so violating the way that they treated her. And then he went to say, like, she's never been to my house anymore. And she was able to describe everything because she was looking around as he was raping her. Like, she looked, you know, and able to give a complete detail of what his house looked like. And I want to say he only had a couple of years. Like, that's my biggest thing. It's like, they're not serving a time that a civilian would serve for this. They're literally pretty much getting a slap on the wrist.
But even at the civilians, how much are civilians getting in jail? Like, I think it's probably the same thing, to tell you the truth. In some of the articles that I read, it said too that it's a lot more seen in within the military, where women help men, like they aid them to in assaulting other women.
Wow.
Which it goes back to the whole power thing, because it's a man like, oh well, if you don't do this, you're gonna get written up. Like, the position that they put you in. And I don't want to talk like crap, because I know like a lot of people are like, are in the military, but the thing is that because these people are fighting for us, these people are putting their lives on the line, like, we should protect them. Like, they should be held to a higher standard, especially with accusations of this sort.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they should not be held to lower standards than a civilian.
Exactly. Because you out here doing it, like, you should definitely have better morals than that. Not saying that you're perfect,
mm-hmm.
but you should definitely have better morals. Like,
mm-hmm.
why to go and violate
mm-hmm.
somebody like this? Like, on top of, I gotta go out here and fight this war, and then I'm at home when we're, like, off on base or whatever, then I gotta be
mm-hmm.
raped also? Like, no. And then when I come forward, now I'm getting dishonorable
mm-hmm.
discharge for all the work that I put in, and I done went and I done served this country, and this is what happens to me.
And I wonder how many of those women have families. And I mean, they all have families, but I mean, have families as to, in the sense of they're married with children
mm-hmm.
and have to come back to their husband, and imagine already having a relationship
mm-hmm.
is hard enough. Now you're far away, even coming forward in the civilian world and telling your spouse, I got raped or whatever. Now imagine, like, you kind of left to protect this country and I waited here, and you come back and you tell me that pretty much, like, your own country couldn't even protect you.
Mm-hmm.
And you got raped. And now, not only do you have PTSD from wherever you were,
right.
you have PTSD from this, and that this is also gonna affect us.
Exactly. That gotta be a double whammy. Like, that's a double trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it like, you gotta deal with going out here and fighting the war, and then also fighting off what you got going on here, being assaulted. And keeping it in, because a lot of times they don't come out.
And even, look how we treat our veterans when they come back from war within
mm-hmm.
itself, just PTSD alone,
yeah.
not including the whole sexual assault. Now imagine that, because a lot of them struggle to even have a job, keep a job, you know, reinstate themselves back to society, back in society,
mm-hmm.
and add all that.
Exactly, because they're saying the most majority of homeless people are
mm-hmm.
veterans,
mm-hmm.
which is sad.
It
because
is,
this
they
country
be
is not
the
you
first
didn't fall
yeah.
exactly, and the country don't even help you after
mm-hmm.
you get out. It's
mm-hmm.
ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's so, like, what are we doing? Like, how are we protecting our military men and women? And what are you really doing to enforce this within the military for the people that are rapists, that are, because what happens when they come back out?
Right.
You just let the rapist walk. He didn't do no time.
Mm-hmm.
You let him off. So now he's going to come into the civilian world. Oh, my God, I can't talk. He's going to come. He or she is going to come into the civilian world and be like, oh, well, I got away with it in the military, so I'm going to get away with it. So now we have a serial rapist. From Unbelievable, wasn't he, like, in the Marines? He was a military person.
Oh, yeah, he
was a military person,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
God knows how many had he raped, and God knows how many people he raped in the military.
Yeah, well, because he raped quite a few people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And look, that's the perfect example right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I bet you that there was accusations against him in the military.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because they just let him go because whatever it was that they let him go for, he went crazy out here, and look how many people's lives he affected. He damaged.
Uh-huh. A lot. Women veterans who have been subjected to both sexual and physical assaults are more likely to have chronic health issues
mm-hmm.
and significantly lower quality of life terms of their health more than 10 years after completing active duty. Which is really bad. So you're not out here, like, having health problems because of active duty. You're having health problems because due to the sexual and physical assaults while you was in the military. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's just messed up. It shows in one study, women veterans detailed how traumatic experiences such as sexual assaults from peers and supervisors and the subsequent lack of support after these incidents contributed to their decision for their premature separation from the military service.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, you got to be let go because of something somebody did to you. Like, I'm the bad guy.
Even at that, when I had read the whole that they're made to work with their rape assaulters, it, like, look at our situation. Like, that's why I had told you, like, I'm not going to quit because of what you did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it ain't my fault that you know you're a dirtbag.
Exactly, right?
And you know that I know what you did, and the whole world knows.
Yes.
But it's like, it always goes back to the victim. Like, mm-hmm. the victim gets re-victimized in so many other ways, not just the act. It affects your job, it affects your life, it affects your relationships.
It is. It's pretty messed up that this continues to happen and nothing is, like, really being done about it. Like, it's an ongoing thing.
And then we make it so unsafe for victims to come. Like, we just said it in the last episode with men coming forward. We make it, I don't think that, I actually did read it where it said that we're losing the confidence of the women who serve, that we can solve this problem. That's a crisis. This was by Secretary Hagel. So that's where he ordered the retraining and the recertification of the U.S. military personnel. We make it so unsafe for victims to come forward.
We do. We definitely do. This, I just pulled this up now, and this article is a little old. It's from 2017, but it says 38 men raped in U.S. military each day. It says, while most of the fire from the public and Congress directed at the military addresses women mm-hmm. who are sexually assaulted, but more than half of victims are male.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Pentagon, 38 military men are sexually assaulted every single day. Mm-hmm. And because of the stigma, culprits nearly go free because the survivors don't want to speak on it.
Yes, and that's why I tell you their mindset that it's mostly men-on-men attacks.
Mm-hmm. And then this is something that she said before. It's not about the sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the power and the control that they mm-hmm. have over you.
Yes, it's about that. It's because I bet you that a lot of these men on men are men of rank raping men with no rank.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole, well, you're not going to get promoted. You're going to go. Because I know when they send them off to, like, their base, your commander is the one that chooses where you go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, either I'm gonna do this and you're not gonna say anything, or you suffer, like, you get re-victimized over and over again. You come forward,
right?
You get re-victimized, you don't come forward, and you fight.
Yeah,
it's the whole thing over and over again. And, like, I believe that a lot of the men in the military have been assaulted by other men
mm-hmm.
and have probably never come forward, and it adds to PTSD. And then again, we do not allow them to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Even women are in military, I don't think that we allow, because they're held in this higher standard where they're like these, like, beings that are just so hard.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give them the safe space as veterans to heal. We don't look at, like you just said, how many veterans are homeless?
Mm-hmm.
We never gave them the chance to heal. What were they doing? Pumping drugs in them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, when they came from Vietnam, when they, like, issuing them, like, heroin, I think,
mm-hmm.
for their PTSD?
I think, yeah. And they don't. And then it's the crazy part is that when they do come home and they, like, are acting out, or they're not acting normal, mm-hmm. per se, it's just like, oh, the military really messed you up, but you're not really trying to get to the root of the problem mm-hmm. or, like, what happened that pushed me to where mm-hmm. I am today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, no one answers the hard questions. Mm-hmm. They just put it off on, oh, they're crazy now. Like, oh, this happened. Like, you don't know what happened that turned them into this.
And we don't, like I said, we don't. We need that space to be able to give, to heal, to talk to someone, to, especially within the military. Like, you guys have the funds. Maybe you guys don't have the funds, because I don't know about the funds, but you can pull resources. And that I know. You can pull resources to help your own people, because these are the people that are helping you with whatever projects it is that you're doing in the government. Why would you not want to protect your own people?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you not want to do that? Like, you guys should be held at a higher standard when it comes to the military, because you guys should know better. You guys are held at a higher standard. So why are we letting these rapists go? Like, oh, it's good. Don't worry about it. Now let's go focus on the victim, and you're going to get re-victimized. You're going to get demoted. You're going to be discharged, you know, A, B, and C. I don't know if I've seen this case where, like, they had beat him up. It was in the Navy. He got raped, and I think he reported it, and he was in a ship. Oh my God. I think it was on the ID channel. He came forward, he was in the Navy, he reported that he had been raped, and I believe that he had told his mom, and literally a week later, like, the service came because he was found dead.
Wow. That's insane.
And because of the way that the military was served, they don't have to go through a autopsy. Like, they go through their own autopsy. Like, their own people do their own autopsy.
They just say
so it was whatever he has said that they told her that he had committed suicide. I think that's what they had ruled, that he had committed suicide. But I guess she had looked at a couple of the pictures that they had taken, and she's like, there's no way that that was a suicide.
Right.
And it was close, and there was nothing else that she could do. And because it was suicide, I don't know if they get, like, some kind of insurance or money. Like, if they die in combat, like, you get money.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't able to get any of that. So not only was her son raped, they killed him, and...
Oh, my God.
And it's insane. Like, at this point, you're putting people's life in danger if they come forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's probably worse if you report it and you're in the military than if you report and you're a civilian.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the power to hide it and deny it for the most mm-hmm. part.
It is so sad.
Oh, my God. It's insane that this is something that happens and it's not being stopped. Oh my gosh. And it happens a lot, like, more often than not, in so many cases we'll never hear about, or they are dismissed, or they feel like they got a case and then somehow mm-hmm. they find some loophole to get past.
Yes. And a lot of the people that are in the military come from military family. So it goes into the, how am I going to have, like, and they'll say it, like, I can't report it because I'm going to get dishonorable discharge. And how is my family going to look at me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is going to happen? Because, you know, it is a legacy. Like, a lot of those people, like, their parents have been in the military, or, like, you know, it's kind of like you pass it down type of thing.
Right, yeah.
And they look at you and it's like, I'm going to get discharged. What am I gonna do? I can't mm-hmm. tell anybody. Or because it kind of says we're in the same community, like, my dad knows who did it to me, my brother knows the sergeant type of thing, like, they know each other.
Right.
It's
they
so
know
sad.
Uh-huh.
It's so sad to be putting people into these positions mm-hmm. of you can't come forward because at this point your life even depends on it.
Right.
I mean, with civilian cases, the cops ain't even listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And in the military, they're listening to you just to shut you up.
Yeah.
So where do victims in any branch, shape, way, or form find their sanity, find their safety net?
That, you're right. Because that is, who do you talk to?
Mm-hmm.
Who's actually going to mm-hmm. be on your side type of thing? Like,
mm-hmm.
they should have some type of, really, like, a safe haven, a mm-hmm. place we can go to and talk to somebody. But, like, a real person, not, like, that person who they say, like, this is it. Because mm-hmm. they all are following these rules and stuff like this, and they know how to go through the loopholes or how you're getting off. Like, mm-hmm. They need a better system in place.
So, let's see. In 2012, and I know this is old, the Pentagon reported that about 26,000 women and men were sexually assaulted. Only 3,374 were reported. From those 3,000, only 484 went to trial. And from those 484, 376 got convictions. But now the question is, what were your convictions? Just because you found them guilty doesn't mean that they were discharged. It doesn't mean that they did time. It could have just been like, oh, you're found guilty. Guess what? You only like, or you're demoted. Keep mm-hmm. going. And she still had to work with him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, you're found guilty, but we're going to discharge the victim.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we went from 26,000 that were sexually assaulted to 376 convictions.
Right. Where's the other one? What happened mm-hmm. with the other cases? Like, mm-hmm. how did those go out the window?
Like, why is it always that?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the percentage. What did I say? 384?
Yes.
376.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for getting the number. That is less than 1%. That's like 1%.
That's insane. Yeah. That's messed up.
That is 1%. That is sad.
It is.
Like, we don't give people the safety to come forward. We don't let them come forward. We don't let them... I think, like, the more that we get into this, the more we realize that we hear about it, but we don't want to talk about it.
Yep. That is. We don't. Like, this is a subject that people don't talk about. Like... they go right past it. Like, it's just like I see it all the time, the taboo subject no one wants to talk about, but it's a reality that happens more often than not.
Do you want to tell them where to find us?
Yes, you guys can check us out on IG at _girls.likeus, or you can email us at girlslikeus619@gmail.com. Or check us out on Facebook at Girls Like Us 619. Once again, go ahead and drop us a DM at Instagram to let us know what you think about this episode or any other episode or anything you want to share with us at _girls.like.us, or email us at girlslikeus619@gmail. And once again, follow us, share us, like us on Facebook, Girls Like Us 619.
And the National Sexual Assault Hotline, the number is 800-656-HOPE. That's 800-656-4673. And if you're in Delaware, the number is 302-761-9800. Don't forget to rate us and send us the links and the screenshots
yes.
so you can get your sticker. And thanks for listening to Girls Like Us.